If you're someone who supports learners with autism, whether you're a special ed teacher, an RBT, or a parent who wants the very best for your child, high-quality applied behavior analysis training can make such a huge difference. If you've ever thought about deepening your expertise or advancing your ABA career, The Ohio State University has a program designed specifically for that. Ohio State offers a fully online Master's of Arts in Special Education with a specialization in applied behavior analysis. And what's really cool is the program is fully ABAI accredited, which means all of the coursework and the degree meet the requirement to pursue your BCBA and get that credential. This is a field that is continuing to grow. In fact, the job postings have increased by 102% in just 2 years for BCBAs. So the demand for highly trained ABA professionals is definitely there. And I love the flexibility that this gives you. There are so many workplace options as a BCBA. Now, I got my master's in ABA when I was a classroom teacher, so I appreciate that Ohio State has this flexible program. It's fully online. It's designed for working professionals, which back when I got my degree, there were not that many out there. So if you're currently a teacher or an RBT, this is a great opportunity to advance your knowledge while keeping your full-time job. So if you've been thinking about it, now is the time to do the research and learn about this program. Check out Ohio State's online ABA master's program. You can visit go.osu.edu/autismhelper. I'm going to link that in the show notes. That's go.osu.edu/autismhelper. Before we get started with this episode, I want to share something that I think could be a game changer for your classroom. Now, as a former special education teacher, one of the things I struggled with the most was creating activities, resources, and curriculum for my classroom. I did not realize that that was part of my job. I have spent the last 10 years developing the Autism Helper curriculum based on what was missing from my former classroom. And now we finally have a way for school districts to purchase this curriculum directly for their teachers. The Autism Helper Curriculum Access is an annual subscription that provides access to all levels and subjects of our curriculum. This curriculum is rooted in evidence-based practices, it's aligned to the standards, and we just completed our pilot case study showing the overall effectiveness. To learn more about how your district can get curriculum access, head over to theautismhelper.com and click Curriculum Access. Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board-certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism.
Welcome back to the Autism Helper podcast. Today we're going to talk about why redirection might not work and really what's the problem with redirection. The title of this episode and the subject of this episode might have surprised you because redirection feels pretty, you know, neutral. Like we use redirection all the time. How can this be a bad thing? The problem is that redirection sometimes becomes a default. We right away go to redirection because it feels proactive, positive, it's not punishing. But the big problem at the root of overusing redirection as a strategy is that it doesn't get to the root of the issue. It's not bad. Redirection is not a bad thing, but if we overuse it or misuse it, this can lead to a bigger problem. So let's rewind a minute. What actually is redirection? Redirection means moving attention away from a behavior or prompting an alternative task or behavior. So in theory, this can fit with almost any response, right? If you're getting into a sensory bin when it's not time to do sensory bins, redirection would be, hey, come over here and let's play bingo. If a student is touching things on another student's desk, we'd be like, hey, come over here. Let's go do this game together. If a student is trying to elope and run out of the hallway, we would redirect them by kind of getting their attention, distracting them. Let's go do these work tasks together. So it's kind of a distraction. We're pulling their attention away from what they were about to do, which is most likely a negative behavior, to something different. Now, the problem with this strategy, though, is you're not necessarily teaching a replacement skill. You can redirect to a replacement behavior if a student is about to engage in some work refusal, work avoidance type behaviors. Let's say they sink to the floor and lay on the ground. Let's say they run and hide at the break area. You could redirect them to a break card, which a break card could be an appropriate replacement behavior. But oftentimes, redirection is really not that. It's kind of like more of a distraction, like some of those earlier examples I gave. Like, hey, let's come over here and do bingo instead. Or, hey, can you come help me put this bulletin board up? So we're kind of distracting. In the moment, this is good because it can help de-escalate a situation. It can help remove that trigger and just kind of take that response away. But we don't want to be only using this, because when we get to the core of what redirection is not doing, is it's not addressing the function of the behavior. We need to understand why a behavior is happening and teach and build a replacement skill. And redirection doesn't do that. It can be used as a component of teaching a replacement behavior, but redirection on itself is not sufficient. So it can manage behavior in the moment, but it doesn't necessarily change behavior long term. So let's look at a few more common problems with redirection. So the big one is what I just said. Number one, it avoids the root cause. We know behavior happens for a reason, and the core of our behavior plan should be figuring out why the behavior is happening and teach a replacement response. That's the core of a behavior plan. Redirection itself doesn't do that. Problem number two, it can accidentally reinforce the behavior. So let's think about attention-seeking behaviors. If a student is blurting out in class, if a student is stealing items from a peer, if a student is pulling someone's hair, kicking someone, doing anything that's trying to get attention from a peer or an adult in a maladaptive way. When we use redirection, we are giving attention to that behavior, right? We are giving in and giving that reinforcement in some way. Now, we know with dangerous attention-seeking behaviors, we're going to have to give some attention, right? We're not just going to let a kid kick another kid or pinch someone or self-injurious behaviors hit their own head. We're going to have to get involved and redirect, right? So we know that's going to happen. But if we are only using redirection for an attention-seeking behavior, that behavior is not only going to continue, it could escalate. So instead, when we're doing redirection along with teaching and reinforcing the replacement behavior, we're going to have a lot more success. Now, redirection can also accidentally reinforce escape-maintained behaviors, because escape, we're trying to get away or out of a task. When we redirect, that task gets removed, right? Oh, you're engaging in your work refusal, you're laying on the ground, you're tearing your paper, you're throwing things. Hey, let's come over here and do this instead. That's often what redirection becomes. And the kid's like, great, I don't have to do what I didn't want to do now. Problem number three with redirection is it teaches dependence on adults. Adults are very involved in this prompting method. So the student is waiting for the adult to tell them when to change their responses. There's very little self-regulating going on. We're not building any internal coping skills. And problem number four is it can break trust for some students. For students that need a lot of predictability, redirection can kind of be confusing.
Wait, you just told me to do this task box and now you're telling me to do something else. For kids that really thrive on that predictable routine and need that secure rapport with an adult, this kind of back and forth that redirection creates can create the opportunity for a power struggle, as well as just be something that is not clear with expectations and add to anxiety for the day. I have been getting Factor meals delivered for probably a few years now, and when I first discovered these, they were really a game changer. They are fresh meals that get delivered right to my house, pop them in the microwave, and 2 minutes later, I have a healthy, protein-packed lunch all ready to go. I'm like, where were these when I was in the classroom? I like how there's so many different options, so I never get bored, and that I'm eating healthy without having to do a whole ton of cooking. If you are looking to eat healthier, to do takeout less, or to just have something taken off of your plate mentally, having your lunches or dinners set up ready to go, I highly suggest checking out Factor. It's what I have tried, and I really think you would love it too. Head over to factormeals.com/Sasha50off and use code Sasha50off to get 50% off your first Factor box. If you're ready to try this, this is such a great deal. Get 50% off your first Factor box plus free breakfast for a year. Love that. Make healthy easier with Factor. If you've been stuck on a 6-month wait list for a psychiatrist or bouncing between online mental health sites trying to find the right medication support, Talkiatry was built for you. It's a virtual psychiatric practice that actually fits your life and your insurance. Talkiatry is a 100% online psychiatric practice that provides comprehensive evaluations, diagnoses, and ongoing medication management. Unlike therapy-only sites, Talkiatry is psychiatry. That means that you'll be seeing a medical provider who can diagnose mental health conditions and prescribe medication when appropriate. All of their over 600 clinicians are in network with major insurers, so you can use your existing insurance instead of paying monthly out-of-pocket subscriptions or those out-of-network fees. Head to talkiatry.com/Sasha and complete the short assessment to get matched with an in-network psychiatrist in just a few minutes. That's talkiatry.com/Sasha to get matched in minutes. So let's talk about when redirection is appropriate and then what strategies we can be doing instead of and alongside redirection. So to me, redirection becomes really applicable in two main areas. One, with that early skill acquisition, and this could be related to the early skill acquisition of a replacement behavior. If you are teaching a student to raise their hand instead of blurt out, to use a break card instead of falling to the floor, for using an AAC device to initiate a conversation or get attention instead of, you know, aggression or screaming and vocal, kind of loud vocal behaviors. All of those will need to be prompted for when we're starting to teach that skill. So early skill acquisition, we're just learning something, we might be getting distracted a lot, and then we're redirecting to that replacement behavior. Because remember, replacement behavior requires instruction. We can't just be like, hey, you should do this instead. We have to provide the opportunities for repetition and reinforcement and to practice that skill. So redirection is going to be part of the process. The other time that redirection is going to be really, really essential is when there's any safety concern. And this is going to be a part of the de-escalation process. When we are starting to maybe see a power struggle, we're seeing agitation. If you're picturing the escalation cycle, you're like up, you're like going upwards, right? You're going towards the mountain. You're not near the peak, but you're going upwards. That's when we want to use redirection, because oftentimes redirection can be really effective here to prevent a dangerous behavior, aggression, self-injury, eloping, property destruction. We want to redirect before those things happen. And that can be really powerful in that moment, because the main goal in that moment is maintaining safety, right? And we're going to do this along with teaching that replacement behavior skill. So big picture, we know when redirection doesn't make sense, why it can be problematic. We know a few times we want to use it, but what do we want to be doing instead of redirection as the core strategy or alongside redirection? And I've kind of been saying this throughout the episode so far, but we have to be teaching a replacement skill. When I teach a full day or half day on behavior change, I always refer to the section on replacement behaviors as like the secret sauce of the behavior plan. And it doesn't work without the replacement behavior skill. This is the core piece of reducing problem behavior effectively and over time. You have to teach a positive, pro-social behavior that that child can use instead of the problem behavior that still gets them what they want. Like that core thing of what they want, attention, task avoidance, some sensory need, they're still going to want that no matter what. And they just need a better way to get access to that and then to be able to learn, you know, being told no sometimes. Like, hey, now's not the time for a break or for attention. But we have to build up to that. So you have to identify and teach and reinforce a replacement behavior. A lot of times people will say like, oh, but he knows a replacement behavior. He knows what to do. He might know it, but it might not be effective for him. A replacement behavior has to be effective, meaning you have to reinforce it, and you have to reinforce it a lot at first. We learn math through repetition and reinforcement. We have to learn replacement behaviors the same thing, through frequent opportunities to see that, hey, this works when I do it. So this is going to be your core strategy that you're using along with redirection. The other strategy that you can be using along with or instead of redirection is adjusting the environment. So when you're looking at the situations that you've had to use redirection, you're going to figure out what was the trigger, what evoked the kind of lower level problem behavior that caused you to use redirection. Was it a work demand? Was it a transition? Was it a peer making a loud noise? So identify those antecedents, those potential triggers, and reduce or minimize them. Sometimes we can't get rid of them, right? We can't get rid of peers. We can't get rid of all work demands, but we can figure out what's going on. Like, why is this child engaging in this behavior, and what can I do within the environment so they don't want to? Can I make the work easier? Can I give more breaks? Can I give choices? Can I give more attention? Can I give more opportunities for peer attention? Can we have scheduled in reinforcer breaks? A lot of these strategies can help remove the situation that is causing the problem behavior, which is then causing the redirection. So this is still being proactive. This is still trying to prevent the problem behavior before it starts, but it's going one step before. So we don't even have to use that redirection. So I think the important mindset here is that redirection is short term, right? It can help us in that moment of a safety issue. It can help us as a part of a plan for teaching a replacement behavior, but it's not going to bring long-term change. Long-term change is going to come from instruction, from building those replacement behaviors, from really look at the environment and figuring out what I have to teach more. And that's where you're going to have that long-lasting behavior change. So action steps right now. Think about the times in the day that you redirect. And if you're redirecting the same behavior all day or multiple times a day, multiple days in a week, that's important information for you to know that, hey, there's a really core skill missing and what I'm doing really is not working. Just being aware of how much you redirect is honestly the first step. Behavior change requires instruction, not just interruption. We don't want to be following this kid around forever, interrupting and distracting when problem behaviors start. We want him or her to be successful using other responses to get them what they want and need. So spend some time thinking about this. Talk with your team about this. Observe some different patterns that are happening and start making some plans on how you can add in the instruction piece to give better behavior change over time. Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening. Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum, everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.